Today, we're talking with my good friend, an amazing flower photographer, Anne Belmont. She's going to be our keynote speaker at our Flower and Garden Photography Conference in August. And she's going to tell us today about some of her very favorite places to shoot in the Botanic Garden. So that's going to come up in just a minute. We've been running photography conferences for over 5 years, working with some of the best photographers in the world, people like Art Wolf, Brian Peterson, Rick Salmon, and our goal is to put together an amazing event where you can work side by side with these photographers in amazing locations. For instance, we're going to be at the Chicago Botanic Garden for this one. We're going to bring in some of the world's best flower and garden photographers. After the interview, I'm going to talk about some of the details for our events that we have coming up in August, so I hope you stick around for that. But for now, let's get down to that interview with Anne Belmont. I'm here with amazing flower photographer Anne Belmont. Anne, welcome to the Out of Chicago Show.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, today we are talking about something super exciting that we've been kind of dreaming up for the longest time, and we're going to give you lots of details about it. Anne, you tell us, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the Flower and Garden Photography Conference at Chicago Botanic Garden. This is truly a dream that you and I have been talking about for
years.
Yeah, for years. Yeah. And it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah, I can't wait. So we'll give a few details right now, but really what we're going to talk about is all of your favorite places to shoot in the Botanic Garden, especially during the time that we're going to be there, which is in August. We kind of looked at the entire schedule for the year and we said, when would be the very best time to be there for a diversity of different things to shoot and your favorite things? And we said, it's got to be August. It's got to be late summer for the most stuff. So yeah. So we were able to make it work for those dates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the garden is fabulous year round. I wouldn't necessarily schedule a conference for
right now.
spring is incredible. Too. But the problem with spring is it rains a lot and it's very windy for some reason in the spring. So August is just, you know, it may be hot, but there's just plentiful subjects and we have, you know, a lot of choices in terms of what we shoot. So.
Right. And the dates are August 26th through the 29th. That's a Sunday evening that we start, afternoon on Sunday. And then we shoot all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, and then send you home. And on Sunday night, we're going to do our opening. Anne Belmont's going to be our keynote presenter. She's going to get everyone super excited to shoot. And then we're going to be shooting all, you know, every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, along with presentations and critique and post-processing help and sitting down and working with you on your laptop and all of that stuff, everything you'd ever want, all in 3.5 days.
It's going to be pretty nonstop, which is typical of out of Chicago. We pack a lot of fun. And I mean, you know, honestly, what makes our conferences so different and so outstanding is that there's just so much social interaction, you know, and we've picked a place, a hotel where, you know, we're going to all get to eat breakfast together. They're going to have a cocktail hour. It's very open and I don't know, we just had a great feeling about it. So.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to be at the Embassy Suites. We can let people know. And you're exactly right. The breakfast is all included. They have happy hour drinks included. Crazy. So it's going to be so much fun. We're going to have time to socialize with the other instructors and with the other attendees. We did this when we were in Acadia in Maine and we had such a phenomenal time with everyone there. And really, I think the thing that people were most excited about in Acadia was photographing the flowers in the gardens there. And that was part
of... It was so unexpected.
Right? People came expecting to shoot the rocky coastlines and then they'd be like, well, I'll do like one flower thing or whatever. And they came back and that was their favorite part.
So. Right. And they got really excited about Lens Baby too. Which,
that too. Uh-huh. And we'll talk...
typically associate that with landscape, but you know... I think we're going to be opening some doors to shooting with Lens Babies with landscapes. I mean,
that's
I'm
right.
going to to do that more. So
that's right. So they're going to be with us when we go to Moab, Utah, and they'll be helping out with this flower and garden photography thing too, because that's right up their alley. Right, for sure. Right. So part of what made this so great is that you and I got to kind of sit down and just say, you know, if we could like invite anyone that we wanted to be instructors at this thing, we get to pick who would we invite. And I think everyone that we asked said yes. And so, I mean,
everyone was just so excited and like, you know, honored.
Right.
Which I think speaks highly of where Out of Chicago is going in terms of.
And we just have so much fun. So yeah. So they're going to have fun. Attendees are going to have fun. We're going to have fun. I'm super excited. So Ann Belmont is our keynote presenter, but Mike Motes will be there. Alan Shapiro from New York, Charles Needle from the West Coast, Lou and Todd Nettlehorse, who are local and know the Chicago Botanic Garden, will be there. Thomas Shahan, who is known for his macro bug photography. How cool is that?
That's David, pretty awesome.
I know. It's totally different. We're going to be finding bugs in the garden, and he's going to teach how to shoot those crazy close-up bug shots, you know, of their eyes or whatever. David Cobb, who is also from the West Coast. He's part of Photo Cascadia. He's known for his landscape photography, but most of the books that he has are on garden landscape. So he's going to be teaching us how to do landscape photography in the garden. And then one of our real good friends, Sherry Miller, is coming from Iowa. So between, you know, all these presenters, we're going to see all different ways to photograph gardens. Right. And one of the biggest differences we're seeing is like Ann Belmont loves to do the soft focus. We can see it in your orchid photo in the background there. You know, she loves to do the lens baby and the, you know, get part of it in perfect focus and the rest of it go out of focus. And then there's other people that will be teaching how to do like focus stacking. So everything front to back is completely sharp focus. So, so you can learn both. You can pick which one you'd prefer to do. It's all going to be available this week.
Right. And we were really conscious of picking presenters that would bring lots of different viewpoints in. And like Alan Shapiro is a master at black and white. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. And he does great abstracts as well. And right. I mean, he's known for like his food photography close-ups and all sorts of stuff. So yeah. That'll be really fun to get that perspective on it.
Yeah. And he's a great storyteller, too.
Yeah, he has a great personality. That's the other thing.
Photographs have stories.
Exactly. So the format is that every one of these presenters is going to do a presentation to the group, but they're also going to be leading groups in the morning and in the afternoon going to the Chicago Botanic Gardens. So the classes are at the Embassy Suites, but then we're going to go together to the Botanic Garden, and you're going to go on at least two excursions every single day where you'll be shooting with those photographers in a small group, and it'll be specific for the technique that they're going to be teaching for that part. So it right. may be you're going to this garden inside of the Chicago Botanic Garden with Ann Belmont to learn how to use lens babies, you know, right. or whatever. It might be you're going out to the prairie with Alan Shapiro, and he's going to, you're going to shoot for black and white photographs. So right. you're going to have the theme that you're shooting for and the location and the instructor, and it'll be all be figured out. You'll be signed up ahead of time, and you'll have two or more of those every single day.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So super exciting. All right. So what we're going to talk about today, because Anne is the expert, knows the Botanic Garden better than anyone else in the world as far as seeing it. Well, I honestly believe that, seeing it through the eyes of a photographer.
So well, that's true. There may be people that horticulturists probably know it.
Horticulturists may know the pH levels better and all that stuff. But as far as seeing it creatively through the eyes of a photographer, there's no one better in the world than Anne. And so that's why we've got her kind of leading this whole thing and kicking it off that first night. And here with this video, we're going to talk about her favorite places to photograph in the garden, maybe do a couple of tips along the way, and I don't know, and have fun. Sound good?
Yeah, we're doing this very impromptu, no rehearsal, so we'll see how this goes.
Maybe this will be the rehearsal. No, this is great. So actually, let's talk first about, for that opening presentation, what are a couple of the things you're going to be hitting on in that presentation, do you think? I mean, I know you're working on it, because it's when you finally have that thing put together, it's going to be the most amazing presentation you've ever done before. So tell, what are you thinking, though?
Chris knows me. I don't do things at the last minute. I start thinking about them very early. So obviously
she's probably already done. I mean, the event's not till August. She's probably already done with it.
No, I'm still working on winter and summer conference, but well, I think one thing, and I did this at Mike Motes' macro conference, he specifically asked me to talk just briefly about garden etiquette. And I think because we're going to be a large group going into a garden, that it's really
We're not going to be a
important.
large group. We're going to be lots of small groups.
Well,
Continue.
lots of small groups, right? But it's important to know, what rules we need to follow. And I think most photographers are aware of them, most, but it's just good to have a reminder. And every garden is a little different too, in terms of how they feel about photographers. There is somewhat of a love-hate relationship because photographers can sometimes cross the line
Well,
and
one or two people spoil it for everyone else, right?
I mean, I've seen some pretty shocking things happen, like people walking into the middle of densely packed gardens to get a shot that they want and just trampling on things. So you can't do that. You have to stay on the path. So I'll just go through sort of my little 5-10 minute presentation of garden etiquette. And I've spent a lot of time talking to the horticulturists at Chicago Botanic. Because I'm there so much, they've become my friends.
It's
And
ridiculous. I can't go there anymore with you without being stopped five times.
I know. I love them all. I really do. I love their passion. I have such respect for what they do. And so I feel it's so important to follow those rules because by doing that, we're respecting the work that they do.
For sure. So we'll get some garden etiquette. You're going to give your top flower photography tips, especially as it relates to the things that will be in bloom while we're there. I'm sure you'll talk lens baby as well, right?
I can't do a presentation without Lens Baby.
Anything else we're missing for that for the presentation?
And
Well,
I'm gonna I
some
as
surprises. How's that?
some surprises. Well, and as I'm doing for winter conference, and I got really excited about this aspect of my presentation. I just want to encourage people to really unleash some creativity and not be afraid to try and experiment new things because that's how we grow and that's how we, make new discoveries. So,
And the best part of what we do is that they'll learn and get these great ideas from you in the presentation that they'll be thinking about throughout the week, but then they'll go out and they'll get a chance to shoot alongside with you and ask you questions. And you can say, hey, yeah, that was the right idea, but try it a little bit like this as we're out there.
And that's really, important, especially when you're teaching Lens Baby. It's one thing to stand up and show pictures of these lenses and say, well, this is this aperture to this aperture, but until you really get your hands on one and try it and, get some instruction, because there is a bit of a learning curve. That part is really important. I just can't even imagine our conferences without the hands-on. I mean, all of our conferences have hands-on in some way or another, and this one will be a
It's the
lot.
best way to learn. I mean, you're going to learn new techniques, but then you have to actually try them. If you don't take what you've just learned and try to apply it, it's not going to sink in. All right. So we are going to talk about your favorite places in the Botanic Garden. Now, I made a whole list. We made a Google Doc, and I said, these are all the different gardens within the Chicago Botanic Garden. And I said, I just listed them all randomly. And I'm like, okay, we'll just talk about those. And your little note back in our Google Doc was, well, I thought it would be better if maybe we just put them in order as though we were walking together through the garden. Isn't that cute? So that's what we're going to do. So as
Yeah,
we walk into
unfortunately, I mean, ideally, we would have loved to have done this whole podcast walking through the garden,
That's
but
the other thing.
what is the temperature out there today?
It's about 10, and we got another couple inches of snow last night, but we were thinking about going and doing it and saying, in August, this will be beautiful, and the snow will be melted, but we've decided to stay home and stay warm and share some of Anne's images and her favorite places through the magic of online video conferencing, yes.
and pictures.
Yep, for sure. All right, so as you walk to the garden, and I guess a lot of people were asking, we just sent the survey this morning asking people, you know, what questions are you going to have? They're asking, you know, how are we going to get there if we're at a different hotel? We're going to carpool together to get there. We'll figure it out so that we can get in. And it's just as long as one person in a car has a pass to the garden, then the whole car is good. That's how we're going to get in. And we'll park, go through the visitor center. And what's the very first garden we see?
Well, the very first garden is the Crescent Garden, and it overlooks the lake, and it's really gorgeous for a landscape shot. I mean, there are so, you know, this is not just about macro close-up stuff. There's beautiful, beautiful landscape shots of gardens, of vistas, and the Crescent Garden is one of those. It's beautifully laid out into a crescent form. And in the summer, it's filled, you know, well, the thing is, I can't tell you what it's going to be filled with because every year they change these gardens. And this is one of the reasons I love Chicago Botanic, because it's constantly changing. Different flowers, different gardens for every season. So it's why I never get bored, even though I'm there, you know, 5 days a week or so shooting, I never get bored. So it's hard to say what they're going to do this coming summer, but usually that garden has, you know, just a whole mix of different flowers. There's usually a lot of dahlias in there, and you can get close to things. Because it's kind of in tiers with walkways in between. So it's
also nice because each of those beds is very long. So it's good for getting a shot of one thing up close with then everything else falling off in the background.
Right, right. And in the spring, which obviously we're not going to be there, it's solid tulips. I think they put in something like 27,000 tulips just in that garden alone.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. So it's big. There's a lot to explore within that garden.
All right. So that's the very first one. That's the Crescent Garden.
Yeah.
Now, if we were walking through together, Anne, you and I, we would turn left and we would find
the Heritage Garden.
Which, all right. Tell us about the Heritage Garden.
Another one of my favorites. So the Heritage Garden is very interesting. Well, first of all, this in August, it's going to just be lush with water lilies and lotuses. Hopefully the lotuses bloom a little more irregularly, but hopefully we'll have some in bloom. I do recommend that people bring a longer focal length lens. I use a 70 to 300 almost exclusively for water lilies. They're one of my favorite flowers to photograph. I just think they're magnificent, but you can't really get close to them. They're in aquatic ponds, and so you really need that longer focal length. I mean, there will be a few closer up to the edges, but
everyone's got one long lens. So make sure you bring it.
Mm-hmm. I do recommend that. And hopefully we'll have good light. Now, that's the other issue about water lilies, because, you know, normally if we have bright sunlight, we can use a diffuser to soften that light. But these are pretty far away. So, I mean, unless you have an extra long arm, which I don't, trying to diffuse them is difficult. So I'm usually only photographing them on overcast days, which is your best light for flowers anyway. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. I mean, I went to Longwood last summer. I treated myself to 3 days at that garden, and it was full sun the whole time I was there. So I had to be a little more creative, and because their water lilies are magnificent. So you look for shaded areas. Sometimes you can block the light with your back, positioning yourself, but we'll figure out ways. Polarizing filters help. You taught me that. But the water lilies will be at their height in August. They actually bloom until well into October.
Yeah, so that'll be one of the highlights. There will be the water lilies, and even just the flowers that are around the fountain there are beautiful. And
yeah, it's very interesting the way it's laid out. They have gardens along the perimeter that are organized in terms of continents, like, and then also by their classification. And then the little water free feature in the middle is, I didn't even actually know this, they're all medicinal plants.
Yeah, that goes along with the statue that's there. Is that the Linnaeus statue? Is that right? Yeah.
Right. That garden is dedicated to Linnaeus, who, you know, sets up the way that we classify flowers and plants. So
yeah. I know how to classify them. There's green ones, there's red ones. Yeah.
On my wish list or my bucket list is to take a botany course. I would love to know more about botany. And I oftentimes, because I'm friends with the horticulturists, I'm oftentimes picking their brains about things. So,
well, maybe we need to get one of them to come and do a little talk for us.
Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah. Something to think about. Yeah. All right. So we just made it through the Heritage Garden. We passed the statue. We've got the building on the right. What's the big building?
Regenstein
on the right, but we're going to turn to the left and we're going to see in front of us
the Rose Garden.
The Rose Garden. Tell us about the Rose Garden in the summer.
Oh, the Rose Garden. Oh my gosh. What did I put down on the list? It has something like 5,000 roses in bloom at any one time. It's huge, and it's got a beautiful fountain in the middle. Again, a beautiful site for a landscape shot. But of course, you know, my focus in there is I walk through very slowly. And, you know, when I first started flower photography, I wasn't all that intrigued with roses. I thought they all kind of looked the same. And once I really started studying flowers more carefully, I realized they're all different. They all unfold differently. They have little stories to tell. And so it's actually one of my absolute favorite places to shoot, and they should be just really gorgeous in August.
Well, I know shooting with you, you know, you see a lot of people going around with their phones and they're like, or even just, you know, new photographers, and they're like, oh, I'll take a picture of that one and then that one and then that one and then that one. And Anne's going, no, maybe she's not saying it out loud, but I can see she's like, I'm not photographing any of them. Nope, not that one. Not. And then she's like, there's the one. That's it. And then she stays there for a really long time and hits it from every angle and then moves on. But that's kind of the key, right? Is to find that the great subjects.
Right. And that takes time. It takes slowing down. And that's always something that I talk about in my presentations, that, you know, how I see flowers and what I'm looking for and how all of that takes time. We can't just rush up to the first flower, because, you know, the wonderful thing about shooting at a botanic garden is that you have a gazillion flowers to choose from. It's not like you're walking into a small patch of flowers and you don't have many choices. You have so many choices. Sometimes it's overwhelming, but if you take the time, you can find the more interesting subjects that have a little more character to them.
Doesn't mean they're perfect. It means that they've got something to them that makes them a little bit different.
Right, exactly. Those are the ones I'm attracted to.
The weirdos.
The rebels.
There you go. So, all right, just past the Rose Garden is the English Walled Garden. How about that in the summer?
Yeah, well, and in between the English Walled Garden and the Rose Garden is the Rose Garden Terrace, where there's a beer bar.
Yeah, the beer station, that's so, right.
Yeah, if you want to stop and have a little refreshment.
That's right, and they got chips and guacamole, and we'll
really
have to build
that. I opened that last summer, and it was hugely popular.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. So craft beers, wine, regular drinks too. We don't.
Back on track, Anne. Back on track. English Walled Garden.
Okay, so the English Walled Garden is it's just a beautiful garden from so many aspects. I mean, there's lots of flowers in there. There's dahlias. In August, I'm trying to think. There'll be cone flowers. They have a certain, or at least the last few years, they've had what they call a Julia coneflower, which is my favorite. It's just this beautiful orangey red, very different from a purple coneflower. So the English walled garden is divided into a number of different gardens. I think there's six or seven. There's cottage garden, the daisy garden, the pergola garden, and it's patterned after a traditional English garden. And there's beautiful little small scenes within those gardens of benches. There's some beautiful benches.
I was going to say that makes it for great landscape shots, if you can call it that, or at least environmental shots more than just a close-ups.
With, you know, well, I guess the wisteria probably wouldn't be blooming that time, but, you know, wisteria draping over pergolas, and it's a beautiful, beautiful garden. So there's always subjects in there, you know, during the growing season.
Yeah. And like you said, you just got to find one great subject and stick with it. But to have so many different options to choose from to find that great subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And behind the English walled garden is, I always forget the name.
The English
Oak Meadow. I have it in my notes, but yes, the English Oak Meadow. Yes.
Yeah. It's just a little path beyond the English walled garden. And that's actually one of my favorite places to shoot in the summer. Because not only is it just full of flowers. They put poppies in there in the spring, and in the summer it's just, you know, beautiful perennials. There's zinnias, there's I don't know, every year is a little different, so it, you know, it's hard to really say. I don't want to set people up thinking of, you know, it's going to be one certain type of flower, but beautiful colorful flowers. And they actually plant those flowers to attract insects. I mean, Thomas Shahan is going to have a ball in there. Hummingbirds are amazing in there. They just dash in and out. And they're often
butterflies. And
butterflies. They should be starting in August. For some reason, that garden attracts them more, you know, towards the end of the summer into September. But yeah, I've spent many hours chasing monarchs in here. But yeah, it's a wonderful garden.
All right, so that was the English walled garden and the English oak meadow, which is right behind it. And then I think we're turning around, heading back the other direction to go to the enabling garden. Is that right? Kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
Of Regenstein?
If you're walking that path beyond the English oak meadow, if you look to your left, there's one of my favorite things in the whole garden, and that's called the Lakeside Garden Path. It's crab apples. Oh, in the spring, it's just like,
and this is where you've gotten some of your best lens baby landscape shots, right?
Right, because it's just magical. I walk into that thing and I feel like I'm a 5-year-old in a fairyland. That's what I always think of. And so the velvet, the lens baby velvet, actually sort of captures that feeling. But it's still even beautiful in summer. These crab apples just kind of, you know, form an arch over this path. It's kind of a winding path. So it's a really lovely view. But yes, and if you go the other direction, you're and follow another path, you're going to pass all the greenhouses. And, you know, if we do have some rain, which, you know, usually in August, we don't have to worry about that so much. And I would encourage people to bring rain gear, because
we'll give all the details on that. Yeah, coming up for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite times to shoot is during. Not during a downpour, but I've been known to carry my umbrella and.
A light rain or just after the rain.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we do have the greenhouses, so and we hopefully will be stopping in those during the summer. One of my favorite things to photograph are the cactus flowers. You know those well. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the one where there's a party inside them. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. You make fun of me about that.
I would never do that.
Yeah, the cactus flowers. Now, they are a little unpredictable. They bloom on and off throughout the entire summer through to October, but you kind of have to watch them, because when they bloom, they only last for a day. But we may be lucky. and hopefully we'll see them because they are spectacular. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep an eye on that. But the Enabling Garden, which is right beyond the greenhouses, is a really unique garden. It's set up for, they do a lot of teaching of horticultural therapy for people with disabilities. So it's very much wheelchair friendly. The garden beds are all raised, which brings me to the point that it's wonderful for photographers because you don't have to bend down.
Right. And
using a tripod, you can actually put your front tripod legs on the ledge. It's really easy to get good shots. You can be very close to the flowers, and they have just an amazing array of colorful, beautiful, I mean, everything is in there. It's different every summer. This is what I love. But that's one of my favorite gardens in the summer. And one of the people that runs that garden, Peter, has just become a dear, dear friend. And he would love it if we all came in there.
So we will. I know we will. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point you bring up about the tripods, is that a lot of places don't allow tripods, but we will be able to use tripods wherever we are. Not yes. that you always do, but if we want to use a tripod, that's allowed
yeah.
there.
Yeah. We just have to follow the rules of etiquette, which I'll talk about, but you know, you need to be conscious of other people in the garden, not being in their way, blocking paths, not putting your tripod into the actual garden, keeping it at the edge. But yeah, tripods are the only time you can't use tripods at Chicago Botanic or during their flower shows, like the orchid show. They have very specific limited hours where they allow tripods, but
right. mm-hmm.
but that won't affect us at all because there won't be flower shows going on. So
no, we've planned it all perfectly. Yeah. Perfect time of year, nothing else going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may be wondering too, like we have a 3.5-day event. Why didn't we make it like Friday, Saturday, Sunday? But in August in the garden, it is jam packed with people. And we just want to provide the best experience we possibly can. So our shooting days are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to have lots of room to shoot.
It's not to say that there won't be people there. It will still, you know, there will still be people there. We can't avoid that. But Monday is actually one of my favorite days to go year round because it's pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So just past the Enabling Garden is the Sensory Garden and the Sensory Garden Woods. Tell us about those.
Well, the Sensory Garden, again, is also raised beds. Mm-hmm.
Even higher, right? I mean, yeah,
higher.
Those are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you can't, some of the flowers are set back, which gets a little frustrating because sometimes they put their most beautiful dahlias right in the back and you can't.
We'll bring that long lens again.
The long lens would help, but the things that are close, are beautiful to photograph. And the sensory garden is all about smell, touch. It's one of the few gardens where you can actually touch the flowers. Mm-hmm. They encourage you to. The textures are just beautiful. And color. It's a lot about color. So that's also a beautiful garden to get a more of a landscape shot. So mm-hmm.
And there's also the woods through there too, right?
Right. If you follow the path beyond the sensory garden, there's the sensory garden woods, and there will be flowers, wildflowers blooming in there. The beautiful birch trees. Again, that's another one of my spots that I love to do lens baby shots, because you can get these kind of dreamy garden path, you know, with the mm-hmm. birch trees in the foreground. And so, yeah, that's, you know, you definitely want to take that bend.
For sure.
Go through the woods.
And then back to, I think we've gone to the Circle Garden before, just outside Regenstein, and spent our entire time just there in the past.
Well, I have to say the Circle Garden is, if I had to choose one garden out of the, 27 gardens of the 385 acres of CBG, the Circle Garden would probably be my all-time favorite. I spend more time in there than any other garden. And one of the reasons that I spend a lot of time in there is because it's usually, now last year was an exception. They had a theme where they did Brazilian plants and it was very tropical. And I hardly stepped foot in there because it just wasn't
your taste, Anne. That's all.
It just wasn't my taste. Other people, it might have been. But normally in the Circle Garden, they have a lot of dahlias, a lot. I mean, just really showstoppers. And the way it's set up, it's just a beautiful, beautiful garden. It's the outer perimeter is a circle. That's why it's called the Circle Garden. But within it are four quadrants. And those four gardens are all planted similarly. I can't say that word. And then in the middle of that is a fountain that also has, you know, flowers around it. And then off to the side, the north and south side are secret gardens.
I know where they are, though.
Mm-hmm. Go through a little entrance, and then there's, you know, a little garden there with benches. It's really pretty. And again, beautiful flowers in there. So it's
cool. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, the location it's in isn't anything spectacular or whatever. I think it's just what they usually plant there in the summer makes for, I mean, it's small. There's so much in such a small area. Just a great spot to shoot.
Yeah. In the spring, it's solid tulips. It's really, really spectacular at all seasons. And in the fall, they replant it with all fall, you know, things, cabbages and...
Yeah. It's crazy as I'm looking through our list. I'm sorry, I totally cut you off there. Okay. Yeah, there's great flowers in there. Yes, hey everyone, great flowers. My bad. It's crazy as I'm looking at this list how I'm like, wow, we hit all the really good places, and I wonder what else is left on our list. And I'm looking at it, there's still other, right? I mean, the next one we have is the bulb garden.
Yeah.
The bulb garden is great. Tell us about the bulb garden.
Yeah, well, the bulb garden is all bulb plants. So again, in spring, it's all tulips, but then in summer, there's daylilies and also significant dahlia gardens in there. In fact, I would say that's the majority of what they usually plant. Again, I don't know what's on tap for this
summer.
We can't
promise, yes, but usually.
Maybe I need to stop and ask one of the horticulturists, hey, what do you got in mind here? Because they literally plan these gardens a year in advance.
I'm sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
But also within the bulb garden, if you walk, it's kind of a circle, and if you walk around towards the lakeside, there's an aquatic garden. So there's more lotuses, more lily pads, or lilies, water lilies, and you know, aquatic plants in there. So that's another place to photograph the water lilies.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, and that path, just like when you first walk into the bulb garden and go down to the left, I feel like they always have something good down the side there. Like, how many times have we just gone there and stayed there for, you know, 3 hours or whatever?
Yeah. They installed last year a system of railings. I wasn't real thrilled with it because it makes it a little harder to, but it was for handicap accessibility. It has a little bit of an incline as you go down. So I think they, you know, wanted those railings. And if, you know, they have to do those renovations. So
you still got amazing photos, Ira.
You can actually use those railings to kind of bend over, or mm-hmm. you can duck under them, you know, without going into the garden. But yeah, no, I worked around them perfectly fine. So
yeah. And then the next one is probably my favorite garden in the whole place. It's my favorite right now with all the snow, and that's the Japanese garden.
Oh, right.
The Japanese islands. So what can we expect there in the summer, though? Because in the winter, I mean, those bonsai, they're not bonsai trees. I don't even know what they're called, but how they're trimmed, the pine trees are trimmed. They're designed to catch the snow in the winter, and they look beautiful. But in the summer, what do we expect to see in the Japanese gardens?
Well, you know, the Japanese garden is really more about doing landscapes or small scenes in the summer. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, just the the views, you know, if you stand on that hillside looking towards the Japanese garden, it's just, it's beautiful. And the bridge.
Mm-hmm. You mean from the other side of the lake, not where you'd walk the islands? Is that what you mean?
Well, before you cross over the bridge.
Oh, right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The hillside. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that will be an area where a lot of landscape shots will.
Right. You know where my favorite spot is, though, is on the other side of that lake, looking back.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites. And I think I've decided right now, I'm going to, two things. I think I'm going to teach some classes. Sorry. And two.
Sorry. You're perfectly capable to do that.
All right. Good. I'm glad to know I'm capable. And I'm going to, I think we need to lead a group or two out there, because in the summer, when you're shooting back toward the Japanese island, in the evening with the sun going down, or after the sun's going down and the sunset behind it, is gorgeous. One of my favorite places to go. And we can sit on that hill and just enjoy it. And it's beautiful shooting all the Japanese trees. And yeah, I don't know. One of my favorites. So we're going to.
Yeah, no, you've gotten some really amazing shots from there. And you're right there by McDonald Woods too, which is kind of a fun place to.
I thought you were gonna say right by McDonald's. It's different though.
A lot of wildflowers at that time, but there's some interesting things in there. You can get lost.
Yeah. And you just feel like you've gotten away from everything. I mean, it's right next to the rest of the garden, but you feel like you've gone to a totally new place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, away from everyone else, because there's hardly ever anyone in there.
Yeah, I rarely see people in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just go in there to walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we'll, you know, I'm excited to get Sherry Miller to do her contemplative photography, where, you know, she goes through this whole process. It's more than just going out and taking pictures. That might be a spot for her to go to.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. All right. So Japanese garden's great. We love it. One of my favorites. And in the summer, out at the very back end of the garden is the whole prairie. That's got to be the largest garden, right? Or maybe the woods.
Yeah. I don't know what the acreage is back there, but you know, there's like four natural areas within the garden. Mm-hmm. 385 acres, and the prairie is substantial. It's, you know, it's a little bit more of a hike to get out there, but it's really, again, you rarely see people out there, and there's beautiful paths through.
But it's not that much of a hike. I mean, it feels like it's, no, but I mean, you get there in 5 minutes. It's not like, don't give people a wrong impression, Ann.
No. Hey, we want to get our exercise
too. That too, yes. Uh-huh.
That's part of the reason I go to the garden.
Yeah. So yeah, the prairie's great. It's got all the native prairie grasses and native plants. And there's a whole area that's almost like a marsh or whatever in the middle of it, where you'll see lots of birds. I've gone out there to photograph birds, and it's a great place to go find insects, and especially go early in the morning in the summer when things are cooler and they'll have dew on the bugs. And that's one of my favorites. And and like you said, I mean, if you go there like at 7 a.m, which is when we're going to be going, you got to wake up early. If you go there early in the morning, there's not going to be anyone out there. It's going to be silent. It's beautiful. Right. And just your small group out there. So the prairie is kind of a special place.
Yeah. Hopefully the monarchs will be out there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, tall sunflowers. And
yeah, we've done that before. Yeah. And we got really good pictures shooting the monarchs and the sunflowers, and Yeah, I mean, every one of these is like, I don't want to say like an all-day experience, but just putting yourself in one of those positions, you end up getting yourself in this magical position where you're just different angles, different shots, but there's so many different things that you can do throughout your time there. All right. So speaking of butterflies, I think figure out a way to do the actual enclosed butterfly garden.
Yes.
That's open only in the summer.
It's going to be winding down at that point. It closes Labor Day weekend, but hopefully
they all haven't been stepped on.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully we can make arrangements to get in there, maybe even for a private early morning.
Right. Go early, go late, whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is
Anne's friends with everyone there, so she's going to make it happen.
Well, I go for a year. I mean, actually, since the butterfly exhibit has been in existence, I go once a week, and I go early in the morning when the horticulturists are there getting the exhibit ready, and I photograph for 2.5 hours, and then, you know, the garden uses those images for their guides, for their advertising, for whatever. And it's just one of my favorite things to do. I love it. It's a beautiful exhibit. I love photographing the butterflies. There's, you know, I'm sure Thomas Shan would tell us there's a learning curve to it, but, you know, I have a lot of experience with it, and, I don't know. It's just a magical place. And it's also filled with flowers. I mean, sometimes.
Well, that's it. It's not just butterflies landing on the ground. It's butterflies on gorgeous flowers.
It's actually like walking through an outdoor garden. It's a mesh enclosure. So this is why they only have it in the summer. So they have summer flowers. So sometimes I have a little push pull. Do I photograph the butterflies or do I photograph the flowers?
And usually you do both together and it looks great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. You have a whole list of places for landscape shots. You just want to run through those quickly. Like, I don't know if we want to spend, you're our flower photographer, Anne.
I know. Well, I think we can just say that there are wonderful places for landscapes. You know,
right.
I'm not
that we haven't mentioned here, yeah.
But I often just, you know, want to do that just to capture the beauty of the garden. There's beautiful bridges, the Serpentine Bridge, it just makes a beautiful landscape shot. There's Evening Island, which has the bell tower.
Spider Island. The waterfall gardens.
Yeah, so waterfall gardens are just beautiful, especially, you know, we could do a little field trip there to photograph water.
Right, and practice using neutral density filters.
Right.
I've gone there and shot those before and done that and just spent the whole time just doing that because, I mean, you can go there and you can use your wide angle lens and say, get all these waterfalls in it, but the better shots are the ones where you use your long lens and really focus in on small areas. And that makes it so there's so many different photos that you can get from different angles on the paths and that. So that could be its own thing right there.
Yeah.
So that'll be David Cobb that we'll make do that one, our landscape guy for sure. So
One of my favorite things to do at the garden too is to photograph small scenes. Like I did a whole series of garden benches, you know, because they're beautiful. I mean, they're set in beautiful places. You know, everything is thought out. It's not just randomly placed. So, you know, there's one garden bench that has, you know, wisteria draped near it. And then there's another that, you know, that blue one in the English walled garden, that's just gorgeous. And
what I am really excited about for this whole thing is that we're like bringing these people into our world. I mean, we love the garden. We're part of the Garden Photographic Society camera club at the Botanic Garden. And after our meetings, I mean, we go out and we hang out more together. You know, we'll go to Charlie Beinlich's right there and get burgers and fries. We'll go to the Tracks Warehouse, whatever you call it now. We're gonna give you recommendations for all these places. We'll be hanging out there. Like we said, there's free happy hour at the hotel, but then there's so many great restaurants around there. And even the grill at the garden is so much fun. And that smoke comes over the lake. And like, no matter where you are in the garden, you're like, I got to go get a burger. And
yeah.
It's all part of the experience. And we're just super excited to share that with other people.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place.
So anything else? We hit it all. We hit all the great places. I mean, we didn't even hit all of them, but just our very favorites. And we'll be going to all these and more. and teaching classes and helping people one-on-one. One of my favorite things in Acadia was when we just had the instructors in one room, people brought their laptops and brought up their images, and instructors went around and spent a few minutes with each person, then moved on to someone else and gave them individual feedback on their images and said, well, just try this. What if you, you know, they're bringing it up in Lightroom. So you can say, well, what if we turned it black and white? What would that look like? What if you did this? And you can see right there. And we're going to do a lot of that. It's just, it's going to be jam packed the whole 3.5 days of, with people that are all passionate about the same thing.
Right. That was, I think, one of the really special things that sort of evolved at Acadia. We didn't really even plan it, but we...
No. I planned it. I planned it like 4 hours before we did it, which apparently wasn't okay. enough for some people, but yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, people were really excited about getting that one-on-one attention, and we want to make sure we have plenty of that. I mean, I think the presenters, I know I'm excited about just going full force, you know, from morning till night.
Right.
That's
right.
Part of the fun. That's really part of the fun is that, we're accessible. We don't, at all of our conferences, the presenters don't just like disappear after they present. They are there with people, interacting, sharing ideas, sitting down with them. And that's why this hotel is so great, because there's lots of spots, like, you know, it's so open and lots of seating areas where you could just sit down with somebody with their computer and say, hey, let's look at some images. And so I think that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of the backbone of everything we do with Out of Chicago, but I think a lot of people think, well, I'm going to be a photographer. I'm going to go out into the field, or I'm going to go to the garden, and by myself, I'm going to get these pictures. And that's going to happen sometimes. But I feel that to grow as a photographer and to have a great experience, it's almost always better when you're with other people.
That
photography is a social experience. And when you actually get to see what other people are doing, you're like, oh, I never even thought to try it that way. You're like, I'm going to try that. And I just feel that getting together with people that are all passionate about the same thing really transforms your photography. And that's what our goal is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, this was phenomenal. Thank you, Anne. Your website is annebelmontphotography.com. Is that right?
You got it.
Okay, good. So annebelmontphotography.com. There's a link down below. You know, we talked a lot about Lens Baby, and I know that you partner with them and you'll be teaching people how to use it. And based on all the surveys I got in the first 10, 15 minutes, which was a ton of them, filled up my entire inbox, people are really interested to learn more about Lens Baby. So I'm sure they're going to send lenses just like they are this weekend at the winter conference, and everyone's going to get a chance to try them. If people want to look into getting a lens now, you actually have a code you can share? Is that allowed right now, or is that not allowed right now? We didn't talk about this ahead of time. Is that allowed, Anne?
They can contact me through my website.
Okay. So
yeah, I'm not allowed to give it out.
Oh, that's like a special secret thing. So I didn't know anything about this. But
It's usually with people that...
She never gave me the code. All right.
I don't want to get in trouble.
So here, let me start this over again. If you're interested in learning more about Lens Baby, contact Anne. Go to annebelmontphotography.com. It's got a link there where you can email her. Actually, you know what else? She's got her own little Out of Chicago email too. You could do that. Anne, A-N-N-E, at outofchicago.com. So if you want to get in touch with Anne, you can contact her that way as well. Because we didn't say this in the beginning, but not only is Anne one of our favorite instructors, but she's also part of the staff and helps us plan everything we do. And that's why this event is just like right up our alley, that it's what we love to shoot. And we're going to do a whole conference out of it. So I can't wait.
And I really do encourage people to email me. I get emails every day. Particularly about Lens Baby. And, you know, people want to know, should I buy the 85? Should I buy the 56? What's the difference? They, you know, all sorts of questions. I spend a lot of time answering emails, but I really love that. You know, I really love sort of spreading that love. I mean,
ask her about all the new lenses they have coming out too, that she's not allowed to talk about because she won't tell me what they are. So bother her.
I can't. There's going to be a big announcement February 15th.
Ooh, all right. Exciting.
Yeah. All right.
February 15th. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah, and I think it might have some good application for...
What is it, Anne? Tell us. What is it? What'd you say it was called?
Lens Baby.
Whatever. All right. Yeah. That is exciting. All right. So AnneBelmontPhotography.com, and make sure that you are subscribed to our Out of Chicago newsletter. Go to outofchicago.com, be on the newsletter, because when we did this for Moab and we put everything out there, as soon as we opened up registration, we sold out, and we've got so many people on the waiting list that we can't accommodate now. And I expect the similar thing for this one. So make sure you're on that newsletter. Make sure you're finding out right away when this comes out so you can sign up and not miss out.
We're limiting this to...
We're going to limit to 100 people. Yep.
100 people, yeah. So I have a feeling it's going to be like Moab where it's gone.
Right. So we have 8 main instructors, but we're going to have our friend Tony. I'm going to help lead groups. Michelle and Melinda are going to help lead people as well for some things. So we're never going to have more than 10 people in any one of those small groups going out. But yeah, overall, we'll have 100 people for when we come back and hang out together. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I'm so excited.
Me too. It really is going to be good. All right. Thank you, Anne. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for sharing all your great photos that I'm going to put into this video along with everything you said. It's going to be really fun. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
see you this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Anne. Thank you.
Bye.
So I promised that I'd share a few more details about the event. If you can't tell, first off, this event is all about creativity. It's all about shooting from the heart. It's not about documentary photography. It's not like, hey, we're going to make a biology book and here's what this flower looks like. It's all about creative artistry. So that's the first thing I want you to know. All of the instructors are going to help with that. They're all going to help you get great images. Now, we keep saying that it's going to be very hands-on. It's an intimate experience. The entire conference, even though we're calling it a conference, is limited to 100 people. We're going to have 10 or more photographers taking people out in small groups into the Chicago Botanic Garden, but that means that we'll never have more than 10 people in any one group. You're going to go out. Actually, the format is you'll go out in the morning. You're going to shoot. We're going to go to breakfast, everyone together at the hotel. Then we're going to go to the garden. We're going to carpool to the garden. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We'll carpool to the garden with your group. Then you're going to shoot with your group and you'll go to whatever garden you are signed up for. You'll sign up for the excursion. So you might be like, I am going to sign up for the excursion with Anne Belmont to go to the Heritage Garden to practice shooting the water lilies. That might be your excursion. While you're doing that, other people are with a different instructor in a different garden learning a different technique. So we're all going to go to a different place in the morning. Then we come back and we do all the classes during the day. And so everybody during the day will sit and hear our presentations from Anne. She's going to give the opening presentation from the other presenters. Like I said, during the day, that's what we'll do. It's when the sun's up, the light is harsh. And so we're going to be learning in those situations. But then we're going to go back out again in the afternoon. Actually, we're going to all have lunch together too in the middle of presentations. We're going to do lunch together at the hotel, but then we're going to go back out and we're going to shoot again in the afternoon. After that, people are going to split up into groups to go for dinner. There's great restaurants in the area, so you'll go to the restaurants. But then you're going to come back and we're going to do some breakout sessions. Now it's gotten dark. So we're back at the hotel. We're going to do breakout sessions. We're going to do post-processing. We're going to do critique, one-on-one help, all of that. And all of these things are all included in the price of the ticket. So your breakfast, your lunch, all the teaching, all of the excursions, all the one-on-one help, all of those things are all included in that ticket price. And if you also get your hotel room as part of the ticket, so you can get your ticket with or without the hotel, but if you get it with it, now you've got the happy hour and appetizers are all included with your room, and you're going to be staying right there, so you sleep there at the hotel, wake up early in the morning, do breakfast, and go out. The whole point is that you spend this entire time, you're just shooting, you're just concentrating on your flower and garden photography the entire time. And if you can't figure it out, if you haven't figured it out already, it's about the social experience also. So you're going to go get great shots, but then over breakfast, you're going to share them with people. You're going to get tips. You're going to make great friends. And along the way, you're going to learn so many new things. We're going to talk a lot about composition. You're going to do a lot with lighting. We're going to do post-processing and lots of new post-processing techniques. We're going to teach you all the different techniques to get super sharp images. You're going to learn focus stacking if you'd like to learn that. But then the opposite extreme, Lens Baby will be there. They'll have Lens Babies to let people borrow. And you can go the opposite direction and get these great out-of-focus backgrounds and very sharp focused areas as well. We're going to do that selective focus, I guess you would call it, and we're going to do all sorts of abstract images. All those different things and more are going to be taught in the classes and in the hands-on excursions when we go out. Now, when we're back at the hotel, we'll have vendors there. Like I said, Lens Baby is going to be there letting you borrow things. I believe we're going to have like Panasonic and Tamron and some other companies. Gary Farber and Hunt's Photo will be there supporting the event. If there's anything, memory card, or actually for this event, there's tons of little things like the Plamp and reflectors and all sorts of crazy stuff that you're going to want to have on hand when you're doing macro work. So they're going to have all that stuff available to purchase right there. And all those other companies will have things for you to try out, try a new camera, try a new lens, take it out into the field, see how you like it. It's a great opportunity, something that you don't get in most situations like this. Like I said, we're going to carpool to the Chicago Botanic Garden. We'll make sure that you don't need to pay to get into the garden. Someone in your car will have a pass that will get your car in, and we'll make sure that that happens. So I told you all the things that were included in your ticket. You don't even have to worry about getting into the garden. We'll make sure that happens too. So I have two more interviews coming up this week. I have one with Alan Shapiro, where he's going to be talking about how he does his post-processing, and he's going to give you some really interesting ideas for some creative techniques, some creative exercises to try some new things. And I'm also talking with Charles Needle, who does some crazy, great abstract flower images, and we're going to talk about how he gets those shots. So it's kind of here are the tips, but it's also leading into here's what you could learn if you were out in the field shooting with him. Thank you for all of your survey responses. We've been looking through them all, and we kind of realized that there's people looking for two different things. There's people that are looking for an all-inclusive event that would include their hotel and meals and all of those things. And there's other people that are hoping we could do more of a one-day thing. It's not as big of a commitment. So we're going to create it as two separate events. On August 20th, we're going to do a one-day conference where you're going to shoot with these photographers, and beforehand, you'll learn from some online video classes from us so that when you're at the garden, you're shooting the entire time. And for those people that are looking for that all-inclusive experience with all of these instructors and the hotel, the meals, all that included, that's going to happen August 26th through the 30th. And that's going to be an amazing experience where you have everyone there. We're going to, you know, work into the evening, then crash at the hotel, wake up early, and get right back out shooting again. So you're going to be shooting, learning, and then critiquing alongside with these instructors. So kind of two different things depending on what people were looking for. There's a lot of different opinions out there, so we're going to try and hit both of those groups of people. So if you have any questions or would like to leave a comment, or you just want to say how amazing Anne is, you can leave a comment down below. We'd love to see your feedback. But look for more stuff coming out. We've got interviews with Charles Needle, an interview with Alan Shapiro, and information on how to secure your spot for our upcoming conferences in August. All right, we'll see you soon.